This is Wikipedia Weekly, episode 120 for March 26, 2016. An interview with Yolanda Pensa of Italian Wikipedia on the upcoming Wikimania 2016 conference. Welcome to another episode of Wikipedia Weekly. I'm your host, Andrew Lee, also known as User Fuzzheado on the English Wikipedia. And I'm glad to be joined today by Yolanda Pensa from Italy, in Milan. Is that right?
Yes, I'm in Milan right now.
And Yolanda is one of the main organizers, and probably the main organizer, of Wikimania 2016 in Asino Lario, Italy. And this is one of the more unusual Wikimanias that we've had because this is in a small village in the Italian Alps. Tell us, Yolanda, how are preparations going? And tell us a little bit about what folks should be expecting at Wikimania in Asino Lario.
Well, they just finished this week to distribute the broadband connectivity within the village. The broadband connectivity already arrives to Asino Lario, is already there because of a European project. And we made a joint partnership with Eolo, a very well-known company that does connectivities in remote areas of, particularly in the mountains. So we will have a distribution of a fiber within seven buildings of the village, plus two main buildings of which are main accommodations with a radio bridge. Do they call it like this? So basically, the entire village has a new connectivity system, and we're very pleased about this investment that they're doing for us. So they're actually providing it for free as a partnership. So this is a very recent update, but we have basically five buildings that they are improving. Obviously, there is all security and safety check, the collaboration with the police. There is every regulation needs, because of course, Asino Lario is not meant to host a conference. So somehow we have to redesign it and invent it and to find solution that on one side create the best location for Wikimania and on the other side create a better Asino Lario. I like to think about it as a edit button. So for once, we actually apply the Wikipedia system of edit when you see something that doesn't work and try to make it better.
Now, it's interesting because I had a number of Italian students over the last year and people I know from Italy. And every time I saw them, I said, oh, we're going to have our Wikipedia conference in Italy. And they said, oh, where's it going to be? And I said, Asino Lario. And no one, even from Italy, knew much about this town or even knew of it. So tell us a little bit about the town. And you have a special relationship with it, right? And what was that town looking like in terms of connectivity before this project started?
Well, Asino Lario, so I need to train to pronounce it correctly.
No, you tell us how we should say it as no. People come
Asino Lario is just above Lake Como, which is not really one of the, let's say, less famous part of Italy. Lake Como is, George Clooney made it quite famous in the last years. Madonna had a, actually, Goethe was quite a site for tourism, not very recently, and Plinio too. So Lake Como is a very touristic site, and Asino Lario, in particular in the 60s and 70s, was an extremely touristic site. Mm. It's very well known by people from Milan and Brianza, so the area north of Italy, because they used to go there for mountain holidays, in particularly in the summer. So it used to reach 12,000 people in the summer, and that's why we have the capacity of hosting Wikimania, because we're not building the village. This is, we have it already. There are houses that are available holiday, and this is also the reason why we're organizing it in June, because it's the least touristic moment. It's not July and August, which is fully booked. And it has the capacity, the touristic capacity to host so many people. In reality, Asino Lario is not really that isolated. It used to be, in 2006, we adopted open licenses on all the documentation. If you look on Wikimedia Commons, you will find all the archives of Asino, which is one of the largest collection of parchments of the area. So historically has a interesting archive. It has, for example, the main part of the Rockefeller Foundation archive, which is in Bellagio, in Villa Serbelloni Sfondrati, is owned by Esino Lario. It was published also in recently in the main publication of the Rockefeller. So it's a strange, it's maybe difficult to imagine, but Esino has also the use of open licenses. In 2009 was prize of Wikimedia Italy for open access. And it has also a habit of creating agreements with artists, contemporary artists, in producing artwork that already allow Creative Commons attribution share alike licenses on the photos of those artworks. So
this is not the town's this is not the town's first encounter with open
exactly.
culture, is what you're saying, right? Yeah. So tell us a little bit about the concept. So you have a long family history with the town, and you saw an opportunity to have Esino Lario host Wikimania with kind of a unique concept, as opposed to the last few years where we've had Wikimania in a conference hotel or in a very traditional conference setting. So tell us a little bit more about the idea and your bid for this.
Well, in general, my topic, my thing is a geographic imbalance. I normally focus on Africa, and I find it very interesting how you can sabotage, how you can manipulate the center and the periphery. So considering that every single place on Earth is important, and the fact that every person can contribute, I think is one of the most fascinating lessons that Wikipedia can teach us. So I think Esino Lario was an opportunity. It was actually, somehow it was a joke at the beginning, this idea of organizing Wikimania there. We were coming back from Hong Kong, and we said there were less people in the conferences than outside. Everybody was talking, and we said, why don't we organize a conference in a small place where everybody can talk in the bars, in the cafe, where the event becomes a more social event. And so this idea of Esino came up. We started discussing among some of the Italian participants at Wikimania. And I made a feasibility study, so evaluating the buildings, the possibility for the transport, accommodation. We actually made a check before applying to see if we had enough beds. So we actually already found 738 beds before bidding, so to make sure that it was feasible. Create a call with the stakeholders, checking if volunteers were available. We found a technical chief for the event, who is Simone Sale, who works also for MIT, the Columbia University now. He works at the FAO for always the connectivity in remote areas. So it was not really a boutade. It was a challenge. It was an idea of doing something completely different. There was, of course, the idea of being bold and trying to do something that is obviously unexpected and bizarre, but it was not something that we just launched as a little thing. There was quite a lot of work behind it, also economically. We requested €200,000 to the Wikimedia Foundation, but we fundraised it for the double in Italy. So we are asking less money to the Wikimedia Foundation. Also, we tried to find a solution for accommodation that are cheap, also for the meals. We also created the support of stakeholders. The region is now repairing the street, because the street to Esino Lario has not been repaired for many years. So this event became an excuse to do other things. In Italy, for example, we use it to lobby with the government to say, well, Wikipedia is coming to Italy, let's make sure Italy can go on Wikipedia. So let's do something about freedom of panorama, the issue about cultural heritage that is very difficult to upload on Wikipedia. So, and for Esino, of course, there's a chance to give visibility to the village. Of course, Esino Lario comes from the fact that I'm linked to this village. This is the village of origin of my father. It is somehow is the village that I choose to be linked to, because my mother is from Geneva. I always lived in Milan. So I'm not only linked to this place, but I decided that is the place where I've been volunteering for many years. I'm also a member of a different association, always as a volunteer. And it would have been impossible to do a project like this one without knowing the people, the local people, because we have the entire village is involved in the project. It would be impossible to do it without them. So the people that are providing us the houses, all the restaurants, all the hotels, all the 15 associations that are in the village. So it's 761 people, and they're all involved within Wikimania.
We're pretty much taking over the whole town for this conference, is that correct?
And the opposite. They are actually allowing you to get, allowing us. See, it's quite... I also like this fact that it's a collaborative project, because it would be impossible to make it without a collaboration. So it's not faking that you invite people to get involved because of the rhetoric of the nice idea of working all together, being nice and be collaborative. In this case, you really need to collaborate. Otherwise, you don't have the energy and the possibility of making it. So I think it's really joining forces.
Right. You said originally there were 700 some beds. What is the status now? And the original bid, I think, had people staying in satellite towns around there. But tell us a little bit about the status is now. If we're registering and you're providing accommodation, but it really is something you folks manage. There is no one big hotel that people can book themselves, right?
In Esinolario, we reserved everything. So basically what we did is we centralized the organization of also because we wanted to negotiate prices, and also we have a lot of private owners. So that is why we're also managing it as an association. We had to create an association to allow us to reimburse, because it's all managed by volunteers. We only have a staff member, a person that is doing a part-time job as a secretary, but actually, obviously, she's doing more than part-time, so she's somehow volunteering too. So this is the only person that is paid. We're managing the entire project with volunteers. So what we are doing is we are asking everybody to register to this association to allow us to collect the money and to reimburse the families and the people that are providing us the house, and also to manage the insurance, because otherwise we cannot have the insurance for 66 apartments within the town. So we centralize the entire organization, and we are managing it directly. And basically what we're doing, there is no profit, so everything is reinvested within the project. The beds that we, basically the number is quite stable. So we had an increase of bed, then we have sometimes beds that they disappear, 14 beds this week because a person is getting married or, I know. So the 738 is a quite stable number. So this is the number that we secured. There is a lot of accommodation also outside the village. Consider that Esino is 20, 30 minutes from other villages, which is not an incredible distance if you think about Milan. So if you think about commuting to a venue, it's not an incredible distance. And we have Valsassina and Lake Como that can offer other accommodation. So this is basically the situation. At the moment, registration are going well, and there is a space for everybody. We are asking people to share rooms. This allows us to use at the best the entire accommodation in the village. It's more sporty, but it's quite a sporty event. It's in a mountain village, so it's going to be comfortable. But of course, we prefer to allow people to get to the village without paying much money, and also to host as many people as possible within the village.
Right. And so roughly 700 some folks can stay in the main town. Beyond that, you'd have to stay in a satellite town, maybe 20,
yes,
30 minutes away.
See, also, in particularly if people wish to stay in better hotels or an accommodation that is more have more stars, Esino doesn't really provide it. So there is one hotel that is a 3-star, and we are a bit using it as better as we can. Obviously, people with a mobility issue will be located first. We have some special guests. We want to make sure that they come, so we will treat it nicely to make sure that they come. But in general, the accommodation is quite simple, clean, nice. But it's if you want a better hotel, Varenna can offer a better location, also the other town on the lake.
How far is that from Esino?
It's 12 kilometers. Is a half an hour if you
right. Though these 12 kilometers are also very windy through the mountains up there, and it's actually, I guess, up and down, like a lot of vertical travel when you go to these towns. Is that right?
It's about 20 minutes. There are some curves, so yes, this is for sure.
I remember looking at Google Maps, there's a lot of zigzags and switchbacks going up and down the mountains, which is to be expected in the Alps, I suppose. Tell us a little bit about the programming then? It's a little bit unusual this year in that there is this distinction with posters, discussions, training sessions, and then user digest presentations. And these are a little bit different than years past. They build on things that we've done before. The peer-reviewed section of the conference was significantly earlier than in years past. I believe everything closed in January and decisions were mailed out by February, which I think some people welcomed because typically these notifications were fairly late and people had to make last-minute adjustments. But tell us a little about what the deadlines coming up are. March 30th is a big deadline for posters, discussions, and training sessions. And what are user digest presentations in relation to all of this?
So what we tried to do was to diversificate more of the program and also try to create a program that would allow newbies to actually enjoy the conference. Our impression from other, this is, was a discussion with people that attended other Wikimanias. Our impression was that it was very difficult to understand what was the level of the different presentation. And also for the speaker, it was difficult to know if the audience was already aware of the topic or not. Mm-hmm. So what we tried to do was to, what we tried today this year is to separate a bit this kind of presentation. Basically, we start with the concept that within our community, you can be a newbie in many different topics. So you can be extremely advanced on Wikidata or Wikipedia and not knowing anything about the GLAMS research or whatever. So you can be not necessarily you know everything. So sometimes you're extremely advanced in one topic and maybe very technical and you know everything about the last development in software, but maybe you want to discover something about what is happening in research or how Wikidata is structured. So we wanted to create a series of presentation, and this is the user digest, in which they tell you, they give you an idea of what is about. So what is Wikipedia and research and what is happening in that field? What is education and Wikipedia? What are we talking about? And so very short presentation, always 20 minutes, but they give you a state of, so an idea of what is about. And then the critical issue, so two tracks of more in-depth presentation. So people can assume that the audience already knows something about that topic. So you don't really need to start from scratches, but you can decide to prepare a presentation for people already working in education so that they know about the topic, or maybe they already at least listen to a presentation of a user digest so they have an idea about it. And so you can get into the topic. So try to advance, moving on the topic. And we used a peer review system for this kind of presentation because we thought that, well, it was something that had been requested. So we heard that the system was a bit becoming always the same. Sometimes people complained that they were the same people selected. So we thought, well, let's try a blind double peer review system. Mm-hmm. It is an attempt. Of course, it maybe give the floor to people that are better in writing the presentation, the description of the presentation, but we trust we also have other possibility of submitting and actively participating in the conference. So it's not your only chance to be involved and present.
Yeah, there's
for the user digest.
I'm sorry, go ahead. User digest, yeah.
Now, the user digest, we are not, we are inviting directly people, or we ask a team, for example, we ask the education team, say, well, who is your best speaker? Who is the person that can talk about this topic in the best way, also citing a project a bit with our international also scope? So we are inviting people to we call them the best speaker. So try to have the best one of your team speaking for everybody, so making the presentation for everybody.
Right. Good. And something that, as you said, was new for this year was a double-blind peer-reviewed system. And the use of that was in contrast to years past, where everything was just on a wiki site and people could see things and vote on them. And not really vote, but at least say, I support this session. What were some of the pluses and minuses of using a double-blind peer-reviewed system?
Well, obviously, I mean, in the academia too, we have a lot of complaints about the system. It's not perfect at all. I personally believe that is interesting to combine different systems within a conference, because I thought what it would be interesting for critical issue was to give the floor, give a space for people that maybe are very bad speaker, people that really are not necessarily very advanced in talking to the public, but they have something to say. And I believe this anonymous application allows people to submit. It is a system to give space to maybe some possible people that would not maybe fit in other selection system. I simply think that in the entire conference, if you allow different selection system, is the best way you can be more inclusive and can check if it functions. But of course, we will see also during the conference. So we will see how the presentation will be accepted, or which are the feedback from the presentation. We also have other three space, even a bit more. So we also have the poster. We expect to accommodate all posters. So basically a chance to talk about your project. We decided to use a horizontal format so that the poster can become a slide, can become a postcard, so we can provide those short description of project for other purposes. Then we have the discussion. I've been involved with Lodewijk in managing those discussion in the last 2 years, and we had a good feedback. Obviously, all Wikimania is a discussion, so it's a bit bizarre to create a space for a discussion, because is what everybody does everywhere within the conference. But we found that creating chances for people to be facilitated with a moderator really triggers the possibility of meeting new people and exchanging in a more structured context, and then continue the conversation somewhere else. So we thought it was a positive format that had been working quite nicely in the last two editions. Then we have training. The idea is that, of course, we find you a space to provide training if you have a little team, even of 3-5 people. Training is really the idea, of course, of training is to create a chance for people to gain new skills. And we don't have so many constraints of, we can find space for all sorts of training. We imagine that there might be a need of training for open licenses, for Wikipedia, maybe for some projects. So we include them in the program, but it's obviously up to the different people to say what they want at Wikimania. Right. This is also something new that we try to introduce. So not only what you want to talk about, so not only what you want to present at Wikimania, but also what you want to hear. And this is a question that we try to ask all sorts of groups. So asking even the Wikimedia Foundation, so what kind of presentation you'd like to listen to? I think we don't exercise too much in this, and I think it can be valuable. Of course, we will have a community village. Sorry, I was finishing the community village. We are doing also some interview with some guest speakers, so collecting some interview, video interview, to enrich the preparation also of Wikimania.
Yeah. And just one last question is the future of Wikimania. What is your opinion about the remaking of the Wikimania bidding process so that it's no longer a competitive system, but it's something that occurs, at least it seems like at this point, I don't even want to say consensus, but the sentiment that is being floated out there is that the committee, or the Wikimania committee, is entertaining the straw poll that said that, you know, maybe we should only have it every other year, and then there's some other kind of local or community event locally organized when there is no Wikimania. So we know that for a fact next year it has been selected, not bid on, but selected that Montreal will host it for 2017, and then after that, no Wikimania, perhaps, and then a year after that, another Wikimania. What is your opinion about that, and do we lose something if we suddenly start to think of Wikimania not as an annual event, but every other year, or something that is not as regular as it is today?
I have a very strong opinion about the bidding process. I think it is a great mistake. So personally, when I've been asked, when I've been invited to join the Wikimedia committee, because Ezinolare was selected, is the first thing that I said is this is not something that people should go through. We are volunteers. We're here to organize an event. It doesn't really make any sense to have Manila against Isinolario or the other cities because it's really frustrating. Mm-hmm. And it's not putting together the energy of people. It's really... is not a logic that I would that really highlights energy and makes things better. So I don't think it's a good choice. We had a particularly complex bidding process because also we wanted to anticipate the system because one of the mistakes also of the bidding process was that it didn't leave enough time for the team to actually work on the bidding. Also, you cannot negotiate better prices. You need more time if you want people to be able also to think about the program, to introduce innovations and think about also the essential component of Wikimania. So I do believe that creating not necessarily you need to have cities that compete one against the other or a team that compete to make a good Wikimania. The second element, I don't disagree on the idea of creating a biennial event. I don't think it's a bad idea. On the other hand, I do believe this idea of geographical meetings sometimes doesn't really allow the entire world to be represented. In reality, if you want to do a geographical meeting in Africa, it costs almost less to do it in Paris. So not necessarily those geographical meetings that are regional work in the United States and in Europe, but not in the rest of the world. So we need also to take into consideration this. And I strongly believe that scholarship should be increased because I've been in the commission for the scholarship. And sometimes you don't give the scholarship to a person with 100,000 edits, who is a male that lives in the United States that never been to Wikimania, and of course he deserves to go to Wikimania because he's a great editor and it's chance to meet the community. And it's absurd that there is no scholarship to provide him because the number of scholarship is too limited. So I do believe that a scholarship should be increased, that geographical representation needs to be taken into consideration. I think this rotation of cities. Don't call it rotation if it's not a rotation. If you're not really making sure that the world is represented, don't call it. Let's say that we organize Wikimania in the city that costs the least and that you will invite more people from several continents that are not well represented. But I think looking for a geographical balance when you're not implementing it, it's absurd. So at the moment, what the idea of creating a biennial event in increase a scholarship and consider the fact that regional meetings do not work except for Europe and the United States, I think are something that needs to be taken into consideration.
Right. No, I think it's a good summary. And I think you hit on something that the Italian chapters have been especially hit by is the bidding process really being one of the few things in our community where we ask people to do a lot of work and then we basically brush aside their entire labor and contribution in trying to host a successful Wikimania bid. And I know that in 2007 with Torino, that was
there was a burning experience for the Italians. Definitely.
It's terrible. I mean, it's terrible that we have to tell any set of dedicated Wikipedians who went out there and walked the streets and went to vendors and go to universities to get partnerships. And then we make a decision, and I was on that jury, make a decision and then tell them, no thanks. You know, all that stuff was wasted and that's a very bitter experience.
No, it's better. It's much better than to look at four teams and maybe divide the task of a Wikimania, having a team working on the program, having other teams working in the logistic according to obviously their capacities and what they want to do. But definitely, I think it doesn't really take the best out of us, beating one city against the other and then not... also because you're really treated horribly. The entire process is really... So, anyway.
Yeah, it's brutal. And I appreciate you being the ones that have, you know, maybe bookended or closed that part of the history of Wikimania, and that everything from here on out can be a little bit more in the cooperative spirit rather than the competitive spirit for Wikimania. Yeah. Well, thanks so much, Yolanda, and I really appreciate you catching up with us. Maybe there's another chance between now and the start of Wikimania to get another update from you on how things are going.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot.